I have a question for you. Do you ever get angry? That's like asking, do you ever get hungry, isn't it? Of course you get angry sometimes. We all do. Here's another question. Is anger a sin? No. Even Jesus got angry. The sin part is how we deal with our anger. Aristotle said this. This is a great quote. Listen up. He said, anyone can become angry. That is easy. But to be angry with the right person, to the right degree, at the right time, for the right purpose, and in the right way, that is not easy. Understatement. This is Psalm 4:4. In your anger, do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Paul quoted Psalm 4:4 in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, here's what Paul said. He said, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. And the Apostle James said this in James 1:19. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. And let us not forget this. Jesus Christ himself said in the Sermon on the Mount, I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. That's pretty heavy. It's a zinger. Now back to the opening question. Do you ever get angry? Of course you do. But I have another question. Do you get angry often? Psychologists tell us that when a person exhibits anger frequently, it's very probable that they are suppressing some kind of fear. That's interesting. If you honestly answer that question that you get angry often with a yes, then maybe you should ask yourself, well, what am I afraid of? What fear am I suppressing, if anything? I don't know. Maybe you need to talk to somebody about it, you know, to a trusted friend or a counselor, a professional, or maybe you just need some serious prayer to uncover the answer. But regardless, if you are easily prone to anger, Psalm 4:4 again, it says, search your heart. That's part of what it says. Search your heart. Now, medical science has a lot to say about anger. Medical science says that anger affects our bodies in different ways. Sudden anger, of course, can release these chemicals into the central nervous system that make you more alert. And that may even be a good thing. You may even save your life sometime when you become more alert. But what about prolonged anger? Prolonged anger, the kind of anger that you hang on to. Are you with me? The kind of anger you hang on to. Medical science say that the result of prolonged anger can lead to a number of things. And the first one in the list is extreme fatigue. Now, lots of things can lead to extreme fatigue. But have you ever wondered, why am I so tired? Why am I so tired? Is it possible that you're holding on to some kind of an anger inside and you haven't even realized it? But as I said, there's more in the list. Medical science says that prolonged anger can bring on depression. It can bring on high blood pressure, arthritis, digestive problems, heart disease, allergies. I didn't know about that one. Headaches. And, oh, my aching back. And that's just a partial list. Now, of course, there could be many other reasons for all of those conditions, but what I'm saying, I've already said, and you know what I'm going to say next, is it possible that you're holding on to some kind of anger that's dragging you down? Now, we are people of the Bible, right? Hello, hello. We are people of the Bible, right? All right. Did you know that there are different words in the Bible for the word anger? There are three Greek words, orge, paroxysmos, and thumos. And that's in ascending order of intensity. So what are the differences? The word orge is when you get agitated about something. You know, you're in a traffic jam and you get agitated. Paroxysmos is when you get exasperated with something, maybe even furious at someone. Like you see somebody breaking into your car and you get to paroxysmos, you get furious. And then there is thumos. That's when it boils over. Your anger is out of control, anger. Now this happened in South America. A man killed his best friend after an argument about politics. An officer questioned him after the fact, and he said, "I understand that you were arguing about politics, but why in the world did you kill him?" And this is what he said. He said, "Well, it began peacefully, and then we argued, and I killed him when I ran out of words." That's thumos. That's out of control anger. Boils over. Here's another example. This was in 1894. The Baltimore Orioles went to Boston to play a baseball game. Chris was there. He has the tickets framed on his wall. Tommy Tucker of the Boston team slid into third base. And John McCraw of the Baltimore Orioles kicked him in the face when he arrived at the base. And Tucker, of course, was furious, paroxysmos. And the two of them got into a fist fight on the field. And the anger spilled over into the fans. And the fans came out of the bleachers and they entered onto the field and they started rioting. This is thumos, out of control, but it got worse. Somebody set fire to the wooden stadium and it burned down to the ground. And the fire spread for 12 acres and it destroyed hundreds of buildings, leaving 1,900 people homeless. And it's because of stories like that that the Bible says, stop conflict before it gets to thumos. Now listen to this very familiar scripture passage that you've already heard one more time. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. The word anger in that passage in Ephesians is different. Two different words are used. Listen. In your anger, the word is orge. That's the least of them all. That's when you're just agitated. You know, like Harry changed the tune again. In your orge, do not sin. Then it says, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And that word is paroxysmos. That one is more intense. You're furious. And then he adds this, and this is really important. Do not give the devil a foothold. That's the first two words that we talked about in Greek, first of three. Just imagine how much more it upsets God when we allow ourselves to reach the third level, thumos. Also hear these words from Proverbs 22, verse 24. It says, do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Now, we know that the language of the Bible always talked about men. So let's read it this way. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man or woman. Do not associate with someone who is easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. We all know that anger occurs in various places. It occurs in the home. It occurs in the workplace. It occurs on the ball field. It occurs on the highway and many other places. But the saddest place of all, when anger shows its face, is in the church of Jesus Christ. I've probably made some of you angry. And if I haven't, just give it some time. Some of you have made me angry. And I have seen some of you get angry with one another also. No surprise. But we, as we've already said, it's what we do with that anger that really matters. Solomon used some very, very descriptive language in Proverbs 30, verse 33. He said this, for as the churning of the milk produces butter, and the twisting of the nose produces blood, so stirring up anger produces strife. And I love the way this person put it. They said, God does not measure us by our ability to speak our minds, but by our ability to mind what we speak. And boy, do I need to hear that one. If you know me, I don't have too much trouble speaking my mind. And when I read that quote, I said, ouch, do I want to share that one? You know what? We expect a higher level of performance from Christians. We expect a higher level of performance from Christians and other, you know, believers like we are. But that is simply not realistic. You probably expect to see less sin in me, your pastor, than you do in other people. That ain't realistic. We're all in the same boat. And the fact is that each of us has the capacity to captivate that boat anytime. Each of us. Why? Well, isn't it obvious? We're all sinners. We're all trying to live in the spirit and not in the flesh. But that's impossible to do perfectly as long as we're in the flesh. It just isn't realistic. We need to balance our spirit-flesh battle, and then hopefully the spirit part will win out and we will be more in the spirit than in the flesh. But this anger issue, which is a sin trap for me and for you, this anger issue is with us to stay. We need to grow in how we deal with our anger. I just love that. I love that song we heard earlier today. He is slow to anger. He is slow to anger. And that's what he wants us to be. So I would like to suggest some things that we can do about this. I'm going to suggest three choices. The sermon title, Turn It In, Turn It Out, or Turn It Over. Those are the three choices. Now, if you turn anger in on yourself, and some people do that, you are going to become an emotionally unstable and spiritually impotent person. You may even become physically ill, like we talked about earlier. You'll be whining, nobody loves me. I don't have any friends. Well, they do love you. They just don't like you because you are dysfunctional and you just don't, things just don't go well when they're around you. People just don't like a grumpy old man and they don't like a grumpy old woman. Or young, for that matter. So, you decide to redirect your anger and turn it out. on other people. And that leads to broken relationships. It leads to divisions in the rank. It leads to having absolutely no friends whatsoever. And besides that, it's sinful. In Babenhausen, Germany, there's an old monastery, and at the door of the monastery, there's a large statue of two stags with their antlers hopelessly locked together. They starved to death while they were fighting one another. For anyone who insists on turning their anger out on other people, I wish I could get a great big heavy copy of that statue and put it on their shoulders and say, carry that around until you just can't stand it anymore. Turn it in, turn it out. And what was the third one? Oh, turn it over. That's the only choice that has any hope in it whatsoever. And it is a choice. Did you hear me? It is a choice. It's a very challenging one, but it is a choice. And if you don't do that, and if you continue to live with choices number one and two, you'll never know the fullness of the peace of God in your life that He wants you to have. And don't think that your anger is going to disappear when you turn it over to God. It's not. You will experience it again. It will come back. I mean, let's be realistic. It's going to be with us on this side of heaven until Jesus comes back. But when you manage your anger, when you do your best to manage your anger by turning it over to Him, the rewards are limitless. They are wonderful. So how do I do that? How do I turn it over to Him? Well, let's start here. Recognize that you have an anger problem. Admit it to yourself. I'm carrying around some anger. That's a big step for a lot of people. We do not like to admit our flaws. We do not like to admit something like I'm carrying around anger. This is what Psalm 4 was trying to teach us, I think, when I read that early, and when it says, in your anger, do not sin, and when you are on your bed, search your hearts. Search your hearts. Okay, that was step number one. Recognize that you have some anger in you, and the next step is confess it to God. He already knows anyway, but He wants you to confess it to Him, and He wants you to recognize it, that it's in yourself, that you have some anger in there. What's next? If there's someone with whom you are angry, and it's highly possible that that's true, pray for that person. Pray for God's blessings on that person. That may be the opposite of what you're feeling, but do it anyway. That's what God wants you to do. I can see by the look on some of the faces in the room right now, people's minds are searching. Now ask yourself this basic question. Is it worth all this energy and focus and attention that I'm giving to it? Probably not. You've probably made a proverbial mountain out of a molehill. But in the fullness of times and in God's eyes, it probably is just a molehill. Next, do everything you can to control your anger. And you can do that. I remember vividly when I was a little boy, I did something that angered my mother. I don't know what I did. It only happened once or twice. But I angered my mother, and she was giving me a verbal berating that I will never forget. I mean, it was coming at me both sides. And the telephone rang, and she went over to the telephone, and she said, "Hello?" She was controlling her anger. And you can do the same thing. It is something we can control if we just try. And the next step is listen for God's voice to know what to do next. He will speak. He speaks to those who talk to Him and listen for Him. Now, those were some do's. Here are some don'ts. Don't expect that forgiveness will happen all at once. When you seek to forgive somebody, it may take some time. It may be a process. It may be a long, drawn-out process. But let it happen. Let it happen. And next, don't allow yourself to think, well, if I forgive them, they're getting all the blessings. They're getting all the benefits. No, you're really getting the benefits when you forgive someone. You're the one who's getting the blessings. Your walk with God is going to be far, far better once you have learned to forgive other people for what they have done to you. And next, don't think that you're going to like the person just because you forgave them. You don't have to like them. Just love them. That's what God told us to do. And that's what Jesus Christ demonstrated on the cross when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We talked about that a few weeks ago. And then there's this. Don't assume that you have to talk to them face to face, because they may be dead. It may be your mom, your dad, your sibling, someone in your past, a teacher. In Ed's case, it may be a policeman. I have no idea. You may have to forgive someone who's gone because you're holding on to anger from your childhood, from your youth, that you didn't even know was there. I read a little poem that's been very helpful to me in my personal life. It's short. I hope it helps you. Listen to these words. If only I could see the road you came with all its jagged rocks and crooked ways, I might more kindly think of your misstep and only give you praise. Did you catch it? Okay. It was a Sunday school class for teenagers. Mr. Smith was the teacher, and the kids came into the room and they saw this great big dartboard up in the front with white paper all over the front of the dartboard. And on a table nearby were a bunch of markers and also a bunch of sharp darts. And Mr. Smith said, kids, today I want you to go one by one up to the board, and I want you to take a marker, and I want you to draw a picture of a person with whom you are angry. It doesn't have to be a perfect picture, just something that you will understand. A picture of someone who's made you angry. Well, one by one, they went up there, and one kid drew a picture of their little brother, and another one drew a picture of a parent, and then there was a teacher. But Sally drew a picture of her girlfriend who stole her boyfriend. It was a very detailed picture. She even put pimples on her face. The board filled up with all of these drawings. And then the kids were allowed to take turns. One by one, they got darts. And he said, throw the darts. And they started throwing darts at those people. They had so much fun getting it out of their system. And Sally could hardly wait to get there for her dart. But Mr. Smith said, oh, I'm sorry, we've run out of time. And everyone has to go back to their seats. Well, Sally got really angry. And she wanted her turn with those darts. And while she was there steaming in her seat, Mr. Smith went up to that board and he ripped off all the white paper that they had drawn on. And underneath there was a picture of Jesus. And a hush came over the room. And the kids saw this jagged face with holes and holes in the eyes, pierced. And then Mr. Smith said, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, you've done it unto me. First Timothy 2:8. I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands. In prayer, without anger or disputing, put that on your refrigerator. Let's pray. Father, this is so much easier to say than it is to do. And every single one of us needs to hear your word on this. So I pray that everything that's been said that is of you will penetrate the heart and soul of mind of every person here who needs to hear it. And Lord, I pray that they will indeed lift their holy hands to you in prayer without anger and disputing. Help us, Lord. Help us. Take us, use us, make us who you want us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.